Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Whenever you're ready.
All righty. And you're rolling. Coming in 3, 2, 1. And welcome to Community Matters. And I'm happy to welcome our guest today, the County Executive for Kenosha, Samantha Kirkman. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks so much for having me on today. It's really a pleasure. Again, it's been a year since I've taken on this new role. So happy to be here with you to share some of my thoughts that have been happening. And again, it's a great day here in Kenosha County.
It always is. And one of the things that I did want to talk to you about is things you've learned in the year, things you've contributed in your first year. And I know you recently had your State of the County address, your first one.
Yeah.
So you did a great job of wrapping up some of the things that you saw as being important to you. So that's terrific.
Yeah, no, again, this year has been a learning process. You know, we had a lot of learning to do. Even though I was involved in politics for several years, this new role as an executive, getting to know the new members on the board, with some of the returning veteran members that, you know, have been established, building those relationships were so important to me. I think I talked about that along the way. And then how those relationships equate with, you know, our partners at the federal level, our state level, and now at the local level. So all of us working together to bring together the issues that are important to the folks of Kenosha County. So.
And I think that that's one of the things is getting acquainted with them. But also, I know you're a government expert, but there's also new relationships, new responsibilities as you're looking to county executive versus county board. It's not the same as governor and legislature. So how did you go about trying to figure out what your responsibility is, and how do you see that?
Well, I know on day one I wanted to hit the ground running again, but coming from that legislative experience, using the tools that I acquired over the years. But again, now I'm in the administration, so now I have to work with that team as well. So I have my public works director, my human services director, along with sharing and being very transparent with the county board and what their expectations are. So it's finding that balance with the 23 members that are in the hallway, or down the hallway from me, and learning what their needs are, because like in the legislature, all the legislators bring different things from their different parts in their, of the state. Here at the county level, it's the same thing, just on a little bit smaller scale. But supervisors feel very, have that close tie with the folks that they represent, those roughly 7,000 constituents in their district. I have to look at the whole county as a whole, but again, taking in those needs of those different areas of the county. The lake is a little bit different than the western part of Kenosha County, but we're all here together for the same goal in mind. It's to bring county government to the people and to make sure that we're accessible. I think that was one of my key cornerstones that I ran on, was that I was going to make sure that my door was always open, and I think it has. I've done Saturdays in the Park with Sam and Cocoa and Coffee with Kirkman. I have to come up with these little names, but even the
Brandy Wiz.
Well, that's credit all to my office manager Jill Roselle. She's done a really good job with that outreach, and tries to keep those things fun, where people can come out and meet me where they are, not where I am, but where the people are. And I did that a little bit as a state representative. I did that a lot. But even now making it the entire county. And I hear that. I was at church last week, and a lady asked me, she's like, I see you all the time in the paper, and I feel like you're bringing it to me, and that I could stop you today if I had a question for you. I don't, because I see what you're doing in the newspaper, on social media. She's on Facebook. So that's exciting for me, is bringing it to people that didn't know necessarily what the county does. That's interesting for me. People always ask me, what does the county exec do?
Well, that was one of my main questions. No, it really, your responsibility with the board, I think sometimes you think you're going to tell them what to do, and then they go along with it. I have a sneaking suspicion that's not the case. But how do you see your role?
Yeah, again,
and what's the official role?
Well, my official thing that I need to do is pass a budget. But again, there's so much more to that, and it is working with the county supervisors in that capacity of finding out what each district needs and wants, and trying to find those common grounds, because people don't always agree. And I always say, what husband and wife agree on everything? I don't know of anybody. My parents don't. My grandparents didn't. But finding out where you can work together on those yes things, which make the county better. And that's really been important to me along the way. Yeah.
You know, you talk about the maybe people don't agree. And I guess personally, I've noticed that there's a little bit more of that going on among county board members. Yeah. And there's more of that going on, period, right. I think, in the world today. But is there a reason? Is it because of just a lot of change, new makeup of the board? Yeah. You mentioned quite a few new members.
Yeah, no, there were 8 new members that joined the board this last cycle. And you're right. I think nationally, yes, there's a lot of that political or politics that get involved. And at the state level as well, there's that political shift. And, you know, to be honest with you, I remember my dad talking about it when he was on the county board. You know, there were challenges. He was on the board when people lost their jobs, and definitely in the 80s, early 80s, where there was definitely some challenges in this community where we weren't diversified. We had one thing that supported us, and now we're now so much more diverse. So, you know, those are the types of things that I look at, is how we have evolved and where we are today. You know, just recently I was at I got a sneak peek preview of something very special in the county, and it's been growing along the interstate, Haribo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was really remarkable to see what they have done there. And again, complementing everything that we have going on along the interstate. You know, Uline is such a presence along the interstate, but there are many. There's Amazon. There's a lot of small factors or small businesses that feed into those bigger businesses. The reach. I mean, Haribo said that yes, they have upwards of going to be 400 employees, but their outer and the people that they've touched is closer to 4,000 employees from their suppliers and distributors and everything that they bring into this community. So that was really an interesting figure that I heard the other day, that, yes, we think about what their personal, you know, Haribo, what you see that building is. There's just over about 150 employees there today. They want to be at 400, but that 4,000 reach that they touch. And I look at the supervisors kind of in that same way. They might represent 7,000 people, but their reach is Kenosha County. And sometimes it's further than that. And it's really, that's what I look at us. I look at, you know, Kenosha County as the gateway to Wisconsin. That's how I talk about it. You know, it's the first thing you see as you drive up the interstate, and how lucky we are to be that first thing that people really see about Wisconsin if they're coming up from Illinois. And that's why that corridor is so important for us, you know, going forward.
And you were saying how you're encouraging everybody to look at the positive and to move forward. That's kind of a job in and of itself. Yes. And, I mean, I get very excited about economic development. And I ask this question pretty much of everybody. It's just, what is your role personally with economic development, whether, you know, I've asked this of the mayor, I've asked this, you know, formerly CABA, and I guess I will soon again. but how do you see your role with specifically bringing new business and encouraging businesses to stay and expand?
We're a supporter. Just like my previous role at state government, we're not the job creators. We're the supporter of that. We're the helper to bring that infrastructure, the lay of the ground that businesses want to come here, or those partnerships to keep human services, where we keep our children safe, to our seniors safe, and everybody in between, or working with the sheriff and the police chief. It is, you know, we've had a lot of new leaders in Kenosha County mm-hmm. in the last year. So I feel like I'm the more senior member. I've been here just over a year, but we've gotten a new sheriff, mm-hmm. a new police chief. I know the fire chief in the city has announced that he's going to be retiring. We'll have a new mayor next year, new president of CABA coming in. We'll have a new chancellor at Parkside, you know, and again, Newgate. So this is where a lot of fresh faces, people who have a lot of knowledge that they bring to the table, that are very experienced, that have gotten into these new roles, but how we gel and work together. And that's what I find really important. Like, oh, this is a couple weeks. I probably was on the job 3 weeks, and I walked over. I had to sign a contract for the sheriff's department. And instead of putting it in the inner D envelope and putting it in the mailbox to have it go wherever it goes and how it gets over to the sheriff's department, I just walked it across the parking lot. And I stopped in, and people were surprised to see me. I said, well, you're going to see me a lot more. And that has continued with the leadership, with now Sheriff Zorner, the Chief Deputy Miller, and the captains, that I want to meet over there so we know who each other are, and if there is ever a crisis, that we're all working together on the same side. And then, you know, bringing on the new police chief in the other side of the building, mm-hmm. in the public safety building, I've been over there several times too. I remember the secretary goes, well, I don't think I ever had the county exec actually just walk up and ask to go meet with the police chief. I said, well, I'm here, and this is me, and so these are the things that I think are important, is building those relationships outside of when things are challenging, focusing on, you know, what our strengths are right now.
I think what you just said right there makes very good sense. If you've got that foundation, when things go south, which they tend to do off and on, you have something to build on. You know the people involved. I just want to circle back briefly, because we started one direction and I took you someplace else for a second. But as far as having greater accessibility, Wes, yes, you have your COCO and some of the others. And I know you did something with Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, which was very cool to be part of their discussion online. But what have you done, I guess, with – you have an office, I mm-hmm. understand, out in the county building on 45?
Yes, I do. And it's the first time in many years. I believe probably John Collins had one, told. You know, that building is now just it's going to have a birthday. It's 30 years old,
know.
So 1993. I want to make sure I get the right year. Mm-hmm. And now we're in 2023. So,
yeah.
Again, that, you know, making sure that people – know that if they're from the West End, they can go meet with you there. They don't have to travel all the way down to the downtown campus. If they do, great, but I would be willing to meet with them on either campus, or even, you know, doing a coffee someplace else if they're not comfortable going into one of the facilities. So this is where I'm bringing it back to the people and trying to really, you know, make sure that we're accessible. And you know, and I know I deviated a little bit before. We were talking about some of the political challenges. Mm-hmm. And I just want to really mention Chairman Nudo, even though sometimes we don't always agree, you know, I know that his heart is in the right place and he truly loves Kenosha County and he has the best interests. And Vice Chair Decker and the other 21 members, you know, after the chair and the vice chair, we all might have different opinions. And in the legislature, it was the same way. Yeah. And I can remember having debates with, you know, Representative Barca, that was Secretary Barca, on issues. But at the end of the day, when you walk off the assembly floor, you're like, how is Kathy? How's the kids doing? And those kinds of things. And so that is always something that kind of is in the back of my head. Even when I'm upset or we, you know, might not agree on a particular issue, that working together with our leadership in the county board is really important to me as well. And sometimes people like to say things, but really, you know, it's bringing it back to what's important, and having those relationships together are really important because we're all problem solvers. Sometimes you just, people have different ideas on how to solve the problem.
Exactly. And I guess from my perspective, I can remember back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, exactly what you described. You're on opposite sides of the aisle, and you might be screaming at each other in a meeting, but then you'd hear the legislators, you know, going out
and having a beverage and solving it on the back of a napkin.
But you don't hear about that now.
Yeah, right.
You know, there seems to be so much strife between parties, right. And I would think that's going to be a challenge to you.
And that is one of the most challenging parts of the job. And then you take that county board-esque thing, relationship, and then sometimes issues that the county might be handling and dealing with might impact a municipality. We'll just say one or another municipalities. And sometimes there's been new people that have been placed in those roles as well. So sometimes folks don't know each other well enough to really trust one another, mm-hmm. to understand that handshake means their word. I mean, that's one thing in my profession that I always said, that my handshake is my word, and I try to abide by it. Now, sometimes they get new information after the fact, but then you go back to that person and say, you know what? What I based my decision on at that time was this, and now things have changed. So again, it's trying to really set those expectations and let people know. And again, works both ways. You know, somebody else could have different information at a time, and then that changed too. I mean, there are many issues that evolve over time and over the years.
Well, you're a forever Kenosha County person, and you've been in state government for a long time. Coming into this role, what would you say would be your greatest surprise, whether it was a good surprise or a bad surprise?
Oh, you know, there's been a few. I have to say, in the legislature, I have two staff. So, you know, not a huge staff, but then again, it's all the employees in the legislature.
Oh, sure.
But now being the executive and you have 1,100 employees and trying to manage all their expectations. So that has been not a surprise, but I really had a challenge to try to go out and meet everybody. You know, they know my name usually when I'm walking down the hall, but I don't know everybody's names. So it's trying to meet those employees and where they're at, what they do and their functions are. I'm still learning on this one, and going out and meeting many people where they're at, trying to learn their jobs so that I understand when I'm putting together my budget, how it all intertwines. So that has been it's probably been one of the larger surprises of the whole new process, and but one that I'm enjoying. You know, I have to say that people, like from the guys that are out in the facilities, you know, I wave to them, and people don't know this. When I was in college, I used to push the lawnmower around and carry a weed whacker for 2 summers. So I have I watch the facilities people keep our campus, our KCAB campus, because it's right out my window, and watch them mow the lawn. And some days I'm like, oh, I can go, you know, give me 20 minutes. I'd love to go mow some stripes, you know, in the grass.
Yeah.
And I do tell the guys that, or, you know, they might be weeding or putting some, you know, some mulch around things. And I always go up and say, I really appreciate what you're doing. And I know it's a hard day. So,
yeah, and what you had said from the budget and putting together a first budget must have been
a big challenge.
Yeah.
It was a big challenge. And again, the legislature in Madison has a 2-year budget cycle.
Right.
We're on a 1-year budget cycle. So I'm always thinking about numbers. So even when I get done with the budget, you know, October to, you know, November, December, I'm already now thinking about the next budget. So I've been already thinking about the 2024 budget, you know, working with department heads and division folks on, gosh, if we made a little tweak here, can we ask the legislature, ask the state for more resources? Or, you know, working with our partners in Racine County, County Exec Delgrave and I have a really good relationship. Are there areas where we can partner together and work together to find an economy of scale?
While you're mentioning that, something that came up that you mentioned last evening, or the other evening when you were doing your State of the County, the Bi-County Council of Governments. Is that a brand new enterprise?
It is. And again, I'll credit County Exec Cruiser. He had a Council of Governments meeting, which he formed probably about 10 plus years ago, where, you know, he invited all the local municipalities to a location throughout the county. I think it was more than twice a year, but I think it might have started out four times a year, but kind of scaled it down to twice a year. I wanted to do one with Racine County and invite all of our partners from all our local leaders from Kenosha County and Racine County. So we reached out to County Exec Delgrave. And for the first one, we had Congressman Stile come. We had Speaker Voss on the Republican side and Representative Tip McGuire on the Democratic side kind of give an overview of the budget and where they thought things were, both at the federal level and at the state level, to kind of give local elected officials. And I have to say, it took us 11 minutes. I was watching the clock because I was kind of the master of ceremonies. It took us 11 minutes to go around the room just to have everybody stand up and say who they were and what municipality they represented and how long they'd been in their role. So it was about 80 plus people in the room, and it was really great to see people who had not met one another before. You know, it's finding those areas where in our two counties where we have cities on the east end, more rural areas on the west end, you know, where these local leaders can maybe work across the county lines together.
Oh, yeah, the Great Wall of KR.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Moving down here, you know, 40 years ago, I just never understood that.
Yeah. I mean, and too, it's like my parents live in the farthest western part of Kenosha County. For them to come down to the city for services, you know, my parents are in their late 70s. Sometimes it might be easier for them to drive to Burlington, you know, where they might receive similar services for aging and disability services, but not have to go through the stoplights, you know. You know,
yes.
My mom still gets a little nervous when she drives down here because she's used to more of a rural landscape. But again, this is where maybe we can find partnerships where it doesn't matter if you live in one county or the other. We're already working together. And actually, there were several partnerships already that were formed and forged by my predecessor and probably County Exec Delgrave's predecessor on economic support specialists and things. When you call this number, you know, it could be a caseworker from Racine County or it could be a caseworker from Kenosha County. You know, it doesn't matter. You're going to get the services you need for where you are. So that county line doesn't always have to be there.
Let's talk about human services. You've got a big project that seems imminent where you're going to be moving most things over to 52nd Street and closing down, I assume, the building, the job service
center.
Building. Where is that right now?
So I'll just give you kind of a little. Yep, it's been approved. We had received about a $9.8 million grant from the state of Wisconsin last year. Right before I was elected, Governor Evers came down and presented that check. So we just had, as a follow-up, we had Secretary Blumenfeld here just a few weeks ago and to give her an update on the building progress. So we have the design. We're working through the city. We have almost all of our permits. I just want to knock on some wood here that everything's going smooth. And so the construction should begin really, you know, very soon. I know some of the bids have gone out, so I'm not sure where it will be in the next few weeks. And then hopefully gets a, you know, like maybe a little ground, you know, groundbreaking, you know, ceremony off the ground here in the next short time. And then watch it, you know, evolve to really a transformative one-stop shop, bringing services right to the area of the six most challenging neighborhoods in the city of Kenosha, actually in Kenosha County, are right within that area of the 52nd Street building. So sometimes people can even walk there if they need services. So it will include our veteran services and our aging disability resource center. So those will be two of the areas where you won't have to go through the whole building to get to, keeping them closer for our senior population. There'll be a separate entrance as well for a public health side of things. Mm-hmm. So again, for the HIPAA rules and such, you can access it on the other side. And then some of our economic support specialists and our social workers and all will all be, you know, further back in the building. But again, making that a one-stop for folks to receive services, just like the Job Center building was, but really, you know, one where there's not leaky windows and some other challenges that that building has. So
you're saying that a movie theater may not be the best conversion.
It was
fine at the time,
it
right?
It was. It served us very well. And now we're, you know, again, with newer technologies, the architects have been kind of, you know, partners in design have been giving us more of a state-of-the-art type of facility to really utilize the space moving forward. And, again, making it easy for constituents to get there and our folks that need to have those services.
And as long as we're talking about services, you have a relationship now with a clinic in Waukegan for mental health beds.
Yep.
Now, they used to have to go to Winnebago?
Winnebago, about 3 hours away. So these are for our Chapter 51 patients, very acute, high needs care, you know, some of our most challenging patients. Usually law enforcement is involved in these cases as well. So now we've just signed an agreement with Lake Behavioral Hospital in Waukegan. And this was 6 years in the making. So it wasn't something that just happened overnight. Actually, Illinois needed to change their law. The state of Wisconsin needed to approve the contract. All of the law enforcement partners in Kenosha County needed to have go through their local jurisdictions, MOUs to transport patients over the border in Illinois. And then Lake now is working on making sure their doctors have dual accreditation with both Illinois and Wisconsin. And so, again, it's really been I think it's going to be a good partnership for us and for the residents to have care closer to home so people don't have to drive 3 hours away. I was talking to a couple deputies who said, you know, once the person is released up in Winnebago, it's their responsibility to find transportation back home 3 hours.
Yeah.
So that was versus down in Waukegan, which is 30 minutes away, and that we're actually working on a transportation system to get people back here to the county once they are released from care. So really it is forward thinking and, again, hopefully better service closer to home for everybody.
I think quite often people hear just the catchphrase that Kenosha does not have proper care for the mentally ill. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they realize there were no beds in Kenosha County.
Right. That is the challenge. And even into southeastern Wisconsin, the lack of mental health beds is really very acute right now. I know Racine County is also working on a $25 million behavioral health facility. You'll hear more about that proposal if you live up in Racine. But the county exec has been keeping me up to speed as well, because he's looking for ways that we might be able to partner for some of our other not as acute care or you know, it's mental health has many different layers, and so I'm looking forward to that partnership as well, and there might be other people in the future too.
Let's spend just a little bit of time talking about the controversial issues. And that comes down to the things that as you took office, we heard about, we suddenly have guns.
Yeah.
We have appointments that weren't
a little bit more controversial.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about turmoil, but beginning with the guns.
Yeah.
In fact, when I mentioned this to you folks, I was corrected, because I think people thought they were toting guns into the courthouse and whatever. So what is the nature of it, and how did that come about?
Well, we'll go back to when the state of Wisconsin actually changed the concealed carry law. So back then, back in 2011, the legislature passed law to allow for citizens of Wisconsin to carry concealed weapons in Wisconsin. So when that proposal happened, the county at the time went the other direction and put a prohibition of carrying concealed weapons in their county buildings and in the parks. And so what the county board did was reverse that, because, to be honest with you, the city didn't pass any ordinance at that time. So you could carry concealed weapons in the city buildings and parks the last, 10 plus years. So again, we just kind of revert that system. And again, you're not allowed to, state law prohibits you from having weapons in a courthouse or in a public safety building or a sheriff's, anywhere law enforcement is. So that was already on the books for state law. So again, little controversy, but again, we've gotten through it. I think there hasn't been any real discussion about it since the ordinance has changed.
Okay.
So, and with the appointments, you know, again, I've picked a lot of diverse people over the last year. You know, some of them have been a little controversial, but many have not. And again, making sure that our boards are made up of people with varying opinions and such is important to me, you know. And I we'll take the racial commission.
Right.
Definitely a diverse group of people that are going to be sitting around the table right now that bring different backgrounds. You know, Courtney Marshall was just one of the newer members that was put on that committee. He is a realtor. Dwayne O'Keefe, he's a small business owner here off of 52nd Street, but he's a Native American. And so, again, bringing some different components. Alyssa Arrington, the former county board member, David Arrington's daughter, I just recently appointed her as well. So, again, bringing people around the table that are from the community, represent different areas, and bring that diverse opinion to it.
What is your, because that commission has been, even I think before you got really involved with it, has been considered to be a little bit on the controversial side.
Sure.
In your mind, what do you want that commission to accomplish?
Well, again, to look at the issues that impact the folks that have been most challenged. And again, it could be looking at something from our infant mortality rate in Wisconsin is one of the highest in the country for African-American children. I would like to maybe to focus on that. I had one of the other applicants gave me the idea about looking at some of our AODA or alcohol and other drug treatments and how pregnant women are serviced. And so maybe we could do some changes there to help get care to women who are might still be, you know, might be that are pregnant that might be using, and how can we make sure they get the care that they need so that they have good outcomes when they deliver their children. So some of these things, again, it's a lot of different things. Housing is challenging for everybody these days, not just, you know, specific groups, but everybody. So having Courtney, I think, at that table, I think is important. As a realtor, he understands the markets and what's going on. So it'll be really interesting to see where they go in the near future.
I think you're right. It sounds like a broader interpretation of what that commission would be doing than what I remembered hearing 2 years ago.
Yeah. So again, maybe taking some of the issues that impact us here on a local level, but infant mortality affects us all statewide. You know, again, so if the group can come up with some good recommendations, maybe we can even send some of those ideas up through. We have county supervisor / state representative Ned Wesky. So we're really fortunate to have somebody in a dual role right now, you know, that are serving with us.
So let's talk about new projects and things that are exciting you as to what you're hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, I'm always looking at things like economic development and the infrastructure of our county, I think, are really important. Those are things that we have a lot of orange barrels.
Yes.
Around the county right now, and please bear with us. One of the things we did this year, too, for the first time ever, was putting a map together of state projects, county projects, and local municipal projects.
Oh.
You can go to our Facebook page and take a look and put in county projects. I'm sure it'll come up. It was shared a couple months ago. But these are those types of things. Infrastructure is so important because it's one of those cornerstones that brings economic development into the area. And I'm just also working on things for children and families, working with our human services. You know, we talked about the 52nd Street project, but again, working with John Jansen and his team to help make sure the programs that we are doing are effective and efficient right now. We just recently had the state of Wisconsin down here to give an overview of our foster care because May is Foster Care Month. So had Wendy Henderson down here. So those kinds of things, really continuing those outreach and trying to make sure that county government is working for you.
And I know you're learning, you're sharing ideas with staff, but what are your expectations from those types of meetings and learning more? I mean, what can you do? Is it a budgetary thing? Is it a let's start this commission, let's
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I have created two new task force. We have the opioid panel that is looking at our opioid crisis in our community. Right now, unfortunately, we are on track to beat. Last year, we had the record high number of overdoses in our community, and right now we are unfortunately on that path. So again, working with the stakeholders that every day are in the middle of that. In this crisis, and how we use those settlement dollars going forward. So that's really important. We have the education prevention specialist that is going to come on board here, hopefully over the summer, to be schooled up, ready for when school starts, to work with all the schools in the county on prevention of substance abuse efforts going forward. And starting, like, we have the DARE program in fifth grade.
Sure.
But there's so much more we could be doing. And now we have these partnerships with the schools. I think the trust that, you know, okay, the county can partner with the schools on trying to bring the good curriculum into our schools. So hopefully we have a prevention efforts and then work on some of the recovery and other treatment aspects as the folks from the settlement committee work on these recommendations.
So I think you were starting to tell me as to what this person would do. So bringing curriculum in, bringing, and working with each individual school? Or?
Right. I mean, every school's a little different, unique. Mm-hmm. You know, you got city schools and you got West End schools, and needs that they might have might be different amongst them, you know, similar but different. And so where can we be effective with the use of the resources that we have? Or even finding out what other areas of the state, what other areas of the country are doing. You know, I was appointed to a NACO, National Counties Association, two committees, and one of them is regarding public safety, which the opioid settlement dollars came up. So again, listening to what's going on in other areas of the country, bringing those ideas back here. And then I know our team. So Carrie Foss and Rebecca Dutter are kind of the behavioral health team that we have. They're always looking and researching new things to try to bring them here to the county if we have the resources. And so, again, it's such a balancing act.
Well, and you mentioned resources and you've mentioned opioid settlement. So how much money was that?
So far we've gotten about $1.7 million, but there are more. There's been more litigation, so we'll have more dollars coming in to the county. We just don't know yet what those dollar amounts are. The state is processing through. We are really lucky here in Wisconsin that the legislature, a little heads off to me, determined that the county should have 70% of the funds and the state will keep 30% of the funds. Many states in the country, it's reversed. I was talking to one other county, I forgot what state, they were happy to have 50% of the funds. So I said, well, you know, here I'm from Wisconsin and we get 70% of the funds. And even with getting 70% of the funds, we can apply to the state. A lot of the programs that they're setting up are still to maybe give us, you know, there's grants that we might even be able to recapture using some of our local settlement dollars to try to capture more state dollars if we have something that's innovative.
And are there controls then on how it is spent? I remember the days of the smoking settlement.
Yes.
And how those were used in interesting ways. I'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
It sounds like this has a little tighter control.
Correct, and it does, and that's okay. I mean, that's why I have tasked this committee to really look at well-researched, data-driven ideas to use these dollars. We're not going to fund roads with it. You know, it's going to be utilized for prevention efforts, treatment efforts, recovery efforts, and that's what our team has really been tasked with. So right now I thought the prevention, you know, and, you know, let's start there. And especially since we kind of had a goal. We had a goal in mind to try to get this person in place in time for the next school year. And so get the teachers comfortable with something different, too.
And is there an age group that you're starting with?
Well, I think they want to. So right now they're fifth grade. Uh-huh. And so this might be more into the older kids. Older kids. But not to say we might not even try to do something at younger age going forward in the future. Because, again, this is something that is impacting everybody. And I was talking to one of my school administrators last summer, and I said, you know, we were talking about Narcan. And if you haven't been trained in Narcan, please reach out. I know one of our team members would help train you. But you know, I was kind of nervous that he was going to say, well, I don't, you know, our kids don't, aren't using and such. But he was really receptive to it, because not only more so for the community members that might be there or the parents that might be there, and then potentially the students. You know, we had an underage person overdose in one of our high schools. So, but really thinking holistically that it might be a parent dropping a student off for school and might have a problem, you know. So
again, you've mentioned a couple of major issues that you plan to concentrate on. Is it fair to say you're going to concentrate on them, or are they passion projects and you know you have to do a bunch of other stuff too?
Well, you know, I'm passionate about a lot of things. Uh-huh. So I wouldn't be doing this job if I wasn't. And yes, there are certain things I do focus on, but, you know, I get a lot of ideas about many different things. So I try to tell people I have to know a little bit about a lot of different subjects. And but there are some that I really feel like we have to just tackle right away. Public safety and our opioid crisis are probably two of the biggest ones. Making sure our partners across the street in the public safety building, our sheriff and his team, has what they need. Making sure, you know, that the courthouse and the folks, as you know, as we tackle public safety, it could be the courthouse across the street from there, where we got to partner with, you know, others, and then our human services, you know, 52nd Street. So we just have a lot of things. And then our highway guys, we don't want to discount, in our parks. I mean, we are really, I haven't even talked about the parks yet.
And I love your parks.
So we got, you know, I'll have to come back and just, we'll have to have Matt Collins in maybe, and we'll have
great.
To come back, come back and talk about
it. I haven't talked to him for a couple of years, yeah, right. on the program.
We have a lot of different things. We have the band shell going on out in Paddock Lake. Now, I know this year, construction right in front of, you know,
but
the.
But you can get in and out. I was just paddling out there the other day.
So we built our band shell, and we will be having a groundbreaking coming up in June. And I don't have the date off the top of my head, but look forward. I know Betsy Aid will be out there as well to help kick off that night. So check out our Facebook page. There's all concerts either at Pets or now out at the band shell at Old Settlers Park. And then the beach, you know, we've got lifeguards that will be staffing up come Memorial Day weekend out at the beach at Silver Lake Park, which you'll usually find me down there because I don't live that far away from there. I have a loop that I do down there. Or, you know, Veterans Memorial Park. If you're a veteran, on June 2nd at around noon, we are doing a picnic out at Veterans Memorial Park. Feel free to call the Veteran Services Office, Ollie Nelson and his team, and sign up just so we know food count. And there's transportation actually from the Heroes Cafe out to that picnic. So,
oh, how nice.
Yeah. So again, I've just given you a few. I didn't even know I was going to be talking about all the fun events. I would have had a list in front of me.
Oh, right. It's hard not to talk about parks once that word is out there. I noticed that KD is under construction right now, so hopefully they'll get it set. That's such a cute... I'll still think of it as KD Park, but I will get over it.
Yeah.
But
sometimes,
lake is so
you
nice.
Know, we all hiking. Sometimes go back to KD Park. It's Veterans Memorial Park and Freedom Lake out there. And again, we've got the bathrooms under construction on the Honor Plaza side. Like I said, I hope to have those open about the second week of June ish in there. Again, construction is weather contingent, so.
Yes, always. Well, I hate to end an interview on talking about bathrooms, but at the same time, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking with Kenosha County Executive Samantha Kirkman, and I'm Jane Herring for Community Matters.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click Shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Well, this week on WGTD's Noon Tunes, we're featuring the gorgeous music of Racine singer-songwriter Cynthia Chico.
All I know is I still love you. Just the same.
At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So please join us for Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
I'm Gregory Berg. The studios of WGTD will be closed on Monday before Memorial Day, so there will be no morning show broadcast. But the morning show will be available as a podcast, and it will feature a memorable conversation with Patrick K. O'Donnell, talking about his amazing book, The Unknowns, the untold story of America's unknown soldier and World War I's most decorated heroes who brought him home. To find the podcast, look for The Morning Show with Greg Berg.